change to you tonight? What would you like to share with somebody that you love or that you know? What would you like to share about the resurrection with them? Amen? Boy, it all comes down to that resurrection, doesn't it? It really, really does. The resurrection. Let's take our Bibles and get into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is our fourth week. We've not covered this every Sunday night. We looked at Mark last Sunday night. So about 4 weeks since we began 1 Corinthians 15, or the fourth Sunday night, to look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, we'll pick it up at verse 1. We'll read it through verse 11, and simply reading these first verses just to kind of set the context and get the flavor of what's going on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight. All right, if you found that this evening, would you say amen? Amen. God's Word reads this, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And where we pick it up this evening is verse 8, on continuing on through verse 11. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Everybody say amen there. Amen. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reading of Your Scriptures tonight, Lord. We thank You for the love that's contained herein. We thank You for the grace that's contained herein. The mercy, Lord, the challenge. Lord, just a call to wake up. Lord, a call to be motivated to share. Thank You for all the things that are tied up in this passage this evening. And Lord, as we take this passage like we do a good old wet wash rag trying to get the water out of it, Lord, help us wring all the truth we can out of it. And Lord, as we wring it out, Lord, I pray You fill us up. And Lord, may we leave here tonight saying that it was good to be together, fellowshipping with the saints, worshiping You. And Father, we pray if there's anyone here tonight that needs to make a momentous, life-changing decision for You, may this be the hour of their salvation. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Resurrection, here it is. What's it mean? What do you think? Is it important? Anybody? Resurrection? Comments? Huh? Couldn't go to heaven without it, right? Anything else? What? Anything? Resurrection? We live because He lives. Yeah, James. Proof He's God. Amen. What else? Yes, sir, Bob Barker. We don't work for salvation. Jeremiah, do you have your hand up? Outstanding, I'm with you on that. Amen?
No more fear of death.
No more fear of death. That's right. That's right. No more fear of death. It's about it's all about, died for our sins. It's all about a good testimony. A good testimony. That's what's going on here in the passage, testimony. We've answered this question, but what can we say the resurrection is likened to when it comes to Christianity? We said it was like the axle, right? It's like the axle on which all of Christianity turns. Man, if you don't have an axle, it ain't going where? Nowhere. That's right. What is Christianity without the resurrection? We've asked and answered this question. Christianity would be simply what? Wishful thinking, pie in the sky, man, just like all the other human philosophies and religious speculations. It'd be little more, nothing more than that right there. What is the doctrinal problem that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 15? Do you remember that? The Corinthians' confusion about their own personal bodily resurrection. Hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? Right? But that's where they were. Paul was not trying to convince them that Christ rose from the dead, but that they all, 1 Corinthians, the church of Corinth, that they all of them that are saved in the church, they all as well would be raised with Jesus, would be raised with the Apostle Paul one day to eternal life. Amen? Yeah, as Paul begins this section of Corinthians, he does so encouraging them in order to affirm and re-educate them. And the encouragement takes the form of laying a foundation for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these first 11 verses, 1 through 11, are a series of testimonies that we began several weeks ago with, if you'll remember or recall, the corporate, all-involved testimony of the church. That was verses 1 through 2. Secondly, followed by the eternal foundational testimony of Scripture, verses 3 through 4. Praise the Lord, you have your Bible, amen? Praise the Lord, His Word does not end, amen? Right, goes on and on and on. Followed by number 3, the proof positive testimony of eyewitnesses. And what were those eyewitnesses? There was Jesus' appearance to Peter. There was Jesus' appearance to the 12. There was Jesus' appearance to the 500. And Jesus' appearance to James. This evening, we cover the last two little testimonial things here. And good stuff, good stuff. As we begin tonight, we see, fourthly, we've seen the corporate, the eternal, the proof positive. And then under the proof positive, there were four, Peter, 12, 500, and James. Tonight, we begin with the compelling, undeniable testimony of what we're calling a special witness. Who is this special witness? Well, it's none other than the Apostle Paul, verses 8 through 10. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because why? I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. In His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Amen? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The fourth major testimony of Christ's resurrection was that of the Apostle Paul himself. He is a special, he is a unique witness of the risen Lord. If you write in your Bibles, if your Bible doesn't have those explanatory notes, I would write somewhere around those verses that he is a special, a unique witness of the risen Lord. Paul was not among the original apostles, right? Lily Grace, you're through going back to the back, okay? Okay, well, that's about the third time you've gone. Oh, yeah, I think it is. You come park it. Don't let me see you get up again. All right? Mom is picking up Aubrey at the airport, so we're one parent down. Amen? So, no, you might get 5 swats. All right? So, how about we trade that, okay? Yeah, all right. Well, we'll figure it out later. Amen? All right. Man, I'm telling you, that's pretty bold, isn't it? I'm talking about discipline, and you're talking about getting paid. All right, anyway, Paul, where was I? Paul was not among the original apostles, right? Not among the original apostles, all of whom had been disciples of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Paul was not among the 500 other believers who had seen the resurrected Christ. Rather, Paul had for many years been an unbeliever and a chief persecutor of the church. He was a thug. He was a religious thug. He was a jerk. He was a bad guy before Christ. That's who he was. Paul was last of all, out of the eyewitnesses mentioned in this account, to see the risen Christ. He was the last that he mentioned. Now, he was not the last to see the risen Christ. That would be the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos as he's writing the book of Revelation, right? And but he is, in this list that he gives, the last to see Christ. The Lord's appearance to Paul not only was post-resurrection, but post-ascension, making Paul's testimony more unique. The The Lord's appearance to Paul was not during the 40 days in which he appeared to all the others, but it was in actuality several years after that. All the others to whom Christ appeared, except perhaps James, were believers. And here is this Paul, then known as Saul, a violent, a hateful, a belligerent, a rude, an ungracious unbeliever, when the Lord manifested himself to him on the Damascus Road. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I know we think about folks that we just think are past the point of salvation. You know, we should never think that. Because here is a guy. I mean, if there was ever anybody up to the line in the sand of stepping over and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it was the Apostle Paul. It shows you how powerful God's grace really is. Amen? That's really what it shows. Paul also experienced subsequent appearances after salvation. There's Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 10. There's Acts chapter 23, verse 11. There's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. What I want to bring out to you tonight, though, or get you to think about here as we think about this compelling, undeniable testimony of a special witness. This Greek word that represents the last half of verse 8 in the King James Version. Let's look at verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Born out of due time. That Greek word there, ektromatai there, that Greek word that represents the last half of verse 8. Ordinarily, that Greek word referred to an abortion. It referred to a miscarriage or a premature birth, a life unable to sustain itself, it referred to. But in Paul's usage, the term means an ill-timed birth, a too early birth, a premature birth, or a too late birth. For Paul, he felt he came too late to be one of the 12. And in carrying the idea of unformed, of dead and of useless, this Greek term was also used as a term of derision. Derision, what is that? Derision is the feeling that people express when they criticize and laugh at someone or something in an insulting way. Donald Trump practices derision quite often when he speaks publicly. Derision. Many of us have referred to the current president in a very way of derision. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think you're getting it. Amen? Well, that's the way Paul is using this term towards himself. The use of ridicule or scorn to show contempt. A state of being laughed at or ridiculed. A state of being derided. An object of ridicule or scorn. Basically, that's what Paul is saying he deserved. Basically, that's what he's saying he was before Christ. An object of scorn. An object of derision. Somebody born out of due time. Before Paul's conversion, which coincided with his vision of the resurrected Lord, Paul was spiritually unformed. He was, isn't that right? He's spiritually unformed. His spirit has not come to life. He has a soul and a body, but he's spiritually unformed. He's dead. He's useless. A person to be scorned by God. And that really is a picture of hell, being scorned by the wrath of Almighty God in a place called hell. Without Christ, no blood covering you. Before Paul's conversion, man, he was in trouble. But after his conversion, wasn't he a picture of grace? Amen? What I find amazing about the Apostle Paul, this special and unique witness, the compelling and undeniable testimony of a special witness, what I find amazing about the Apostle Paul is though he never doubted his apostleship, he never hesitated to use the authority that office brought, but he also never ceased. He personally never ceased. He never ceased to be amazed that of all persons, Christ would have called him to that high position. Right? He never ceased to be amazed. Never ceased. Because of Paul's humility from his experience with grace, he considered himself to be the least of the apostles and not even fit, as the Word of God says, to be called an apostle, because of his former life of persecuting the church of God. Paul knew all of his sins were forgiven. And he was not plagued by feelings of guilt. That's not what the passage is revealing here. He's not dealing with guilt. He's not feeling guilt over what he had done once against God's people. But he could not forget. He could not get away from for which he had been forgiven. And his forgiveness continually reminded him that by the grace of God, he is what he is. And I think, you know, if we're all saved here tonight, we can appreciate that, can't we? We can appreciate that. Paul knew he did not deserve God's forgiveness, which magnified and constantly reminded him of the grace he had received. I don't think any of us in here tonight deserved forgiveness, but that's what we got, isn't it? That's what we got. The grace Paul received was a powerful motivation for his being determined that God's grace would not be given to him in vain. I want to tell you, man, if you want to look at the proof in the pudding, you want to look at the proof in the pudding, man, look at a Christian. And if there's no motivation, if there's no want to, if there's no, man, why aren't you with the program? What do you mean? I mean, why won't you get with it? I mean, what's holding you up? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you know and I know it's either a backslidden heart or it's a lost heart. Yeah. A backslidden heart or it's a lost heart, right? Because a heart that has received grace, a heart that knows that it has missed hell, a heart that knows that it is heaven bound, a heart that knows that Christ is in here, a heart that knows this is what? Eternally grateful, amen? And is motivated to do what? To bring glory and honor to God, amen? In the church with Jesus Christ, all of that stuff, amen, church? The grace Paul received was a powerful motivation for his being determined that God's grace would not be given to him in vain. As it is clearly substantiated in the New Testament, Paul was able to truthfully say, I worked harder than all of them. I worked harder than all of them. I mean, I put it out there. He makes a similar commitment as chronicled in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 12:12, 2 Corinthians. Now, a surface reading of that, if you just hear what I just said, just a surface reading of the passage, a surface reading here, and we will get the impression that Paul was arrogantly boasting in his own spiritual prowess. Yet a deeper study, a deeper look into this passage reveals Paul is actually boasting in God's power. That's what he's boasting in here tonight, folks. That's what I want you to see. Based on the phrase, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Right? I mean, boy, we got 39 books in the old. We got 27 in the new. And out of the 27, we got 13 that are attributed to this guy. 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, 3 missionary journeys. I mean, countless people led to the Lord. Countless preachers that surrendered under his ministry. Countless things that happened positively for the kingdom of God because this guy was obedient, faithful. Amen? And allowed God's grace to flow through him when he had allowed his own hatred and vile and sinfulness to flow through his body. Right? He just shut that off, got God's grace, and went in another direction for the Lord. Amen? It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? The same grace responsible for Paul's calling was responsible for his faithfulness. Man, if we're struggling with faithfulness, I mean, if faithfulness is a struggle to us, we just need a refamiliarization, there it is, with God's grace. That's what we need. We get refamiliarized with God's grace, then faithfulness is not an issue for us. That's what I think. I mean, I think we're close, amen? I mean, I think that's what it is. We just need to get refamiliarized with God's grace. And man, if we're struggling in an area of faithfulness, that will clear up. When we think about how gracious God is and how faithful He is to us. Amen, church? God sovereignly appointed Paul an apostle and sovereignly blessed his apostolic ministry. Paul believed, he responded, he obeyed, and was continually sensitive to the Lord's leading and will. Amen? He lived a life. His life was such that he did not grieve the Holy Spirit. He did not quench the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he could be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God for that. Apart from God's prevenient grace, the apostle knew that everything he did would have been in vain and worthless. The truth and power of the resurrected Christ had brought three great changes in Paul. We're just about done with this, the compelling, undeniable testimony of a special witness. But think about these things. The truth and power of the resurrected Christ had brought three great changes in Paul. Number one, the deep recognition of sin. Deep recognition of sin. You know, we had a lot of visitors today, did we not? And boy, you need to pray for these visitors. Let me tell you what, friend, you need to pray for them. Because let me tell you what most churches do. Most churches don't preach the way we're preaching up in here. They do not do it. And let me tell you something. When I was in a backslid state and I went to a Bible preaching church, friend, it was like somebody ripped the Band-Aid off. Man, it was like somebody bent me over and tore me up. You sitting about right where you're sitting, brother, in a Bible preaching church that I had never been in before, where they unapologetically preached God's word. I said to myself, walking out the first time, that's a bunch of you know what. I'll never be back. I don't believe that preacher believes what he's saying. That's what I thought. Following Sunday, I'm back. Right? Hearing that same straight preaching again. Took me about a month. You know what I started to believe? These people are for real. This pastor is for real. I need some of this. Amen? But I saw the faces this morning of some first-time visitors. You know what they look like? They look like I look like 20-something years ago. Well, we need to pray them back, man. We need to pray them back. We need to pray those folks back. Amen? And if they don't come here, they need to go to a Bible preaching church. Yeah, brother. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. The deep recognition of sin. For the first time, Paul realized how far his external religious life was from being eternally right with God. Paul had dotted all the religious I's. He had crossed all the religious T's. He had done all the ceremonies, all the ritualism he had gone through. He had done it all, and it didn't get him anywhere with God. No, he needed Christ. He saw himself as he really was, an enemy of God and a persecutor of his church. The truth and power of the resurrected Christ had brought three great changes in Paul, the deep recognition of sin. I hope you can all say that tonight, if you claim to be saved, that you have a deep recognition of sin. Amen, church? Secondly, the truth and power of the resurrected Christ brought this change in Paul. He experienced a revolution of character. Man, his character got all saved up. Amen? He got his Christian on. Amen? I mean, he got ready to go for God. From a persecutor of the church, he became her greatest defender, church. Amen? Paul's life was transformed from one characterized by self-righteous hatred to one characterized by self-giving love. You love folks and you love God when after you have been beaten till near death, you get back up and you don't say, well, you know, I think I better go hide out a while and let all this kind of heal up, and maybe I'll ease back into this evangelism, missionary, church-starting stuff. That ain't what he did. He said, man, let's go to the next town, right? Why? His love of people, his love of God, his love of his Savior. He was transformed, folks. Paul changed from oppressor to servant, from imprisoner to deliverer, amen? From judge to friend, from a taker of life to a giver of life. The man that held the cloaks while they stoned Stephen was now a giver of life. The truth and power of the resurrected Christ had brought three great changes in Paul. The deep recognition of sin, Number two, he experienced a revolution of character. Number three, Paul experienced a dramatic redirection of energy. A redirection of energy, man. As zealously as he had once opposed God's redeemed, he now served God's redeemed. Amen? Friend, I know it gets tiresome. And I know it gets, when's it gonna break? When's it gonna happen? When's this person gonna get saved? When is the church gonna grow? When is the Sunday school class gonna grow? When is the ministry gonna take off? When is this? I know it gets tiresome. Do not base your zealousness, do not base your energy on results. Base your energy, base your zealousness on what God has personally done for you. Amen? Keep going back to that. His grace. My sin, He paid. His grace. Amen? I'm covered. I'm heaven bound. He wants me to do this. He wants me to keep pushing the rock. He wants me to keep pulling the stump. He wants me to keep growling like a dog. I mean, just keep going. You just got to keep going. I know it's tiresome. I know it's hard. I've been there. Boy, I've had the down in the dumps. I've been depressed in the pulpit. I know. But you just got to wake up from that and keep on plugging. Amen? A redirection of energy. Well, we end tonight with the continually proclaimed testimony of the central message. Now, that's kind of a theological point, but we're just going to give it that way. We've got the compelling, undeniable testimony of a special witness. And who's that guy? Paul, verses 8 through 10. And then we see the continually proclaimed testimony of the central message. What is the central message? The central message is the resurrection. What are you talking about? Look at verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. What are they preaching? They're preaching the resurrection. Who is it? It is the witness. It is the preacher. It is the apostle. It is the elder. It is somebody up in front. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. The continually proclaimed testimony of the central message. The last testimony to Christ's resurrection was that of the common message that every true apostle, every true prophet, every true pastor preached. Without exception, the preaching and teaching in the early church centered on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen? Well, you know, I know it's getting close to the end because Brother Steve, he's going to make a beeline to the cross. He's always making a beeline to the cross. He's always circling the wagons and coming back to the cross. Okay, that's right. That's the point. Amen? To get back to Jesus, to get back to the gospel, to get back to why we're here. Amen? That is really the point, folks. That is really the point. Don't ever lose that. Amen? That is the point of why we're here. Wherever Christ was preached and by whomever he was preached, his resurrection was the pivotal message that was proclaimed. There was no dispute. Listen to me, there was no dispute about the truth or the importance of the doctrine. There was no dispute about it in the first century church, which hardly would have been the case had the resurrection been a fabrication. I mean, you can only fake this so long, right? I mean, you can really only fake it so long. And somebody say, you know, there's been a lot of us getting killed lately. And, kind of hard to keep this bluff up. Why don't we just go back to our own lives and let this thing just kind of die? Now, they couldn't do it. Why? Because it was real. Amen? It was real. Except for a few isolated heresies in the first century, the doctrine of Christ's resurrection has not been questioned within the church until our modern age, honestly, until our modern age of skepticism and humanism. New Testament Christianity, whether ancient or modern, knows nothing of a gospel whose heart is not the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we end by trying to encourage you to be what? To be that witness. To be that one that gives that testimony. Make sense? I mean, that's really where it all comes down to, and it all meshes, and it all kind of fits together. Us, the gospel, we've made a decision. We've received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord. And now we have been put in a church, and now we find ourselves in a sphere of people, and now we find ourselves with a set of circumstances that we're trying to navigate in. And how do we navigate it, and what do? We navigate it with grace, and we continually come back to it's about Him. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's about what He wants to do through me. It's not about me and my comfort. It's not about me and my rest. It's not about me and this. It's about Him. It's about what God wants to do with this short, very short life. What does He want to do with it? What does He want to do with it? Right? Amen. He wants me to be a Christian husband. He wants me to be a Christian father. He wants me to be a Christian employee. He wants me to be a Christian friend. He wants me to be a faithful church member. He wants me to be somebody that tells the good story. He wants me to be, and hey, to be honest with you, it's encouraging to hear all that you are doing. Amen? It's encouraging that we're getting it. Just keep on going with it. Amen? All right, well, let's have a closing word of prayer, and we'll get into our prayer time this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your church. We thank You for their faithfulness, Lord, to testify and give the reason of their great hope in Christ. Thank You, Lord, that they are equipped, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt who they are in Christ, and that, Lord, they have the boldness, they have the willingness to step through the door of that divine appointment. And Lord, they're willing to lay it on the line about who Christ is to family members, to friends, to neighbors, to co-workers, to loved ones, to spouses, to parents, to brothers, to sisters. Lord, thank You for them and their faithfulness, Lord. I pray that You just continue to keep them encouraged as they push against that rock, as they pull on that old stump. Lord, as they growl like a dog for You. Lord, help them do it with grace. Mercy, Lord, help them do it with that. Lord, help them do it with kindness and gentleness, Lord, but help them do it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right. Lily's friend, Heather and Jeremy, that were baptized last Sunday, their little girl had a little...